Hey Mac Geeks, it's Friday, January 28th, 2005. This is your MacCast. I'm Adam. This is the show for Mac Geeks by a Mac Geek, where we discuss all things Macintosh. Alright, I gotta be honest with you guys again. It's actually Saturday at about 12:08 a.m. I am just getting around to recording this podcast kind of late this evening. But let's jump right into it. All right, it looks like we've got a bunch of retailers hopping on the Apple bandwagon, which is great to see. A bunch of retail stores are now going to be selling Apple products. The most recent that I've heard of is Best Buy is going to be selling Mac Minis, and I guess that was starting today from what I've been reading. And then the next retailer is just a rumor right now, but I think Think Secret broke this, that Walmart is rumored to be considering or possibly has a deal to start selling the iPod Shuffle. So we'll be able to have more resellers selling Apples. And this was something that when I saw the Mac Mini and the iPod Shuffle with the lower price points and things like that, that I thought was certain to come about. Just makes sense. Apple's products are, you know, becoming more consumer friendly and appealing to more consumers, and you know, more retailers are going to want to carry them. So Apple's doing a great job there. We talked about the iTunes Pepsi promotion coming back on the 31st, and it looks like the bottles are actually already showing up in stores early. People are getting their hands on them already. So supposedly, I haven't seen any personally, but the iTunes Pepsi bottles are available. And you can pick them up. 1 in 3 caps wins a free iTunes Music Store download. And Apple's also going to be giving away one iPod Mini an hour, I guess, for a total of like 1,700 iPod Minis. And good news, if you're familiar with the promotion from last time, it sounds like the little tilt trick that's out there on the internet, where you can actually tilt the bottle and see which ones have codes and which ones don't have codes, is rumored to still work if you're into doing that. I played around with it a little bit, and it seems like more effort than it's really worth. 1 in 3 bottles wins you a free iTunes song, and you know, I got a ton of them just by chance. So not really worth it, but you're welcome to try. You look a little silly standing in the convenience store tilting Pepsi bottles. But anyway, it does work, so that's, you know, something to do. We had been talking back and forth for a while about different uses for the Mac Mini, and something that came up quite often was using the Mac Mini as a media center PC to drive your home entertainment system. And it looks like now over in the UK, they've started up a project for turning your Mac Mini into a media center. And there's a link in the show notes directly to the website. It's mrzippy.org.uk. And it says, this is a quote from the website, "This project plans to develop a free media center application for the Apple Macintosh." So you know, people are working on it and they're starting to organize and get that together. I think this is a great opportunity for the Mac to get into the living room, and I'm excited to see it happen. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of this project. But if you're a developer, you're a technical savvy type person, head over there and help them out maybe. And we can help push this thing along. Apple released a update already to its iLife 05 suite. iMovie HD 5.0.1 came out, I believe, just the other day. I saw it in my software update, and they say that it will address issues related to video and audio synchronization for DVD projects, and I guess additional minor issues. So some little bug fixes already for the iMovie HD application. Well, it looks like there's more fuel for the PowerBook G5 rumor mill. A couple things happened today. People noticed that in the HTML source code on the Apple PowerBook page, there was a hidden 1x1 pixel GIF image, which is generally used by marketing companies to track people visiting the website. But apparently that GIF image had a HTTP link in it that contained the words PowerBook G5. This story was broke over on The Register, which is a UK website, I believe. And about 1 hour after the story broke, the graphic had been updated to say PowerBook G4. So we're not really sure if that means the PowerBook G5s are coming or if it was just simply a typo. We'll have to wait and see. But another thing supporting this rumor is over on the French Apple site, they have a page for the Apple Studio 17-inch flat panel display. And if you look way down in the technical specifications under the requirements section, apparently it says that it needs a PowerBook G5 with a DVI connector. So it looks like on a bunch of Apple's websites, there's references popping up to PowerBook G5. So again, we don't know if these are just typos or what's going on here, but it's stopping and making people pause, and a lot of people are getting excited. So you know, we'll just have to wait and see. Apple has adamantly denied or tried to dispel that there's many, many challenges in getting a PowerBook G5 out there, but you know, more and more rumors seem to be pointing that they might be coming, so we'll just have to wait and see. And we still haven't seen those speed bumps yet, so, you know, it makes you wonder. So, last show I mentioned that Target.com had pulled the Mac Mini, or the Mac Mini came off the Target.com website as being for sale, and Target was saying it was due to inventory issues and just that fact that they were sold out of it, and that people were rumoring that it was because Target offers a 10% off coupon code and they would lose money if they sold Mac Minis at that price. And so I was curious about the margins on Apple hardware. I found it hard to believe that they wouldn't have a bigger margin than 10%. And a listener, Paul, sent me an email and says that according to some discussions on appletalk.com.ua, which I can only assume is an Australian forums website, that the retailers over there are saying there's only like a 2-3% margin on Apple hardware. So that's well under the 10%, and actually even under the 5% level. So if that happens to be true, you know, that may fuel that speculation that Target was getting themselves in jeopardy by having that 10% coupon out there. But I don't know. I think it's more likely that Target just pulled it due to inventory issues, because I'm sure they want to be selling the Mac Mini, because even at 2 or 3%, the volumes that we think are going to happen will make them a lot of money, so it's worthwhile for them to carry the product. More information about the iPod Shuffle, or more feedback on the iPod Shuffle. I received a comment from a listener, Tim, who recently got one, and I want to let you listen to that, and we'll talk about it.
Adam, Tim Mooney here. Just thought I'd give you a quick little feedback on your show. Really enjoying the show. Relatively new to podcasting, and you're one of two shows that I regularly listen to with subscribe. Glad to hear you're back. Thought I'd give you a couple of thoughts on the iPod Shuffle. I was at Macworld and was able to take a look at it in San Francisco when I was there. Immediately decided to get one for my mother for her birthday gift, and she fell in love with it, and then I was lucky enough to receive one as a gift recently from my girlfriend, and I got it last night and have been fiddling with it since received it. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous device. One minor flaw, and I don't know if it's necessarily an issue for folks with other types of Mac notebooks, but I have a PowerBook G4, and when I insert the iPod Shuffle into the USB port, it unfortunately blocks access to the second USB port. So I'd have to say there's a little bit of a flaw in the design. Not a big deal unless you really need to have access to that second USB port. And at the time when I was actually first charging it, I have an ITV, and there was a show that I had scheduled to record, and unfortunately I had to make a decision whether or not I wanted to keep the iShuffle in there or record the show. So have to go with my music. Thanks again, Adam. Really appreciate your show, and you take care.
So Tim makes an interesting comment here, and I actually had noticed a similar thing. I purchased an iPod Shuffle as a gift for my wife, and in charging it on my iBook G4, noticed the same problem. Now, the obvious solution is just to use a USB extension cable. I have tons of them lying around from thumb drives and other devices that included them where I haven't used them in the past. But so that's the obvious cheap workaround. Tim, I think, also sent me an email mentioning, you know, maybe it's a ploy for Apple to get us to buy an iPod Shuffle dock. I don't think that's quite the case, but, you know, that's another solution to the issue. Something else I noticed about the Shuffle that I was a little disappointed in was that you cannot, it requires more power, obviously, than you can get through your keyboard. I thought it was a great design because I figured, hey, you can just, you know, pop it out, plug it right into that extra port on your Apple keyboard and sync it up and charge it from there. But apparently the keyboard doesn't carry enough power from the USB, so it actually does have to be plugged into, if you have an older G3 or G4 model, into the back, where again that USB extension cable comes in handy. So just something to note about the iPod Shuffle if you're thinking about purchasing one. So I also got a interesting piece of email from Jawahar, a listener, and he commented on some of the discussions we had about the Mac Mini and the concept of bring your own monitor, keyboard, and mouse. And he mentions that in several cases, depending on how you're going to use your new Mac Mini, you have the opportunity to run it without any of those things, what most people would call as a headless server, basically without a monitor, a keyboard, or mouse. And the way he would propose about going about that is using a product called VNC, which stands for Virtual Network Computing. And I have a link from the show notes, but you can check out redstonesoftware.com. Redstone Software makes a VNC software, or a version of VNC. I believe VNC is open sourced, but they have something called OS X VNC 1.4. And I've played around with it. Basically, it's a piece of server type software, and by server I mean it's just a piece of software you would install on the Mac Mini, and you let it run, keep it running, and then it has also a client piece of software, or a small piece of software you'd install on your second Mac system, or it runs on a PC or a Linux box, whatever you want to do. And basically, it allows you to remotely control via a network the other computer. So, if you know, in the case of the home media center, you know, scenario, you could have your Mac Mini without a monitor, mouse, and keyboard hooked up in your living room, and you can control it from, say, the Mac in your office using virtual network client or computing. Sorry, I switch those terms sometimes. But so it'll allow you to do all that with your existing mouse and keyboard and monitor. So that's one way to go about it. If you haven't tried out VNC, check it out. It has a lot of other useful applications. I'll let you guys, your heads, think about that, and I'm sure you can come up with some great applications. But there is a guy who is an Austrian Mac consultant. He goes by the handle Teddy the Bear, and there was an article over on Wired where he was at Macworld with a Pocket PC PDA device, and he was using VNC to actually control his Macintosh, which was in Vienna. So he was using a wireless network at Macworld on a Pocket PC, running a version of Virtual Network Client for Pocket PC to control his Mac. And he used, it was a device from Fujitsu Siemens. It's called the Pocket Lux, L-O-O-X 720, which runs Pocket PC, and it costs about $700 and unfortunately isn't available in the United States. But I guess, well, the appeal of it is a PDA that has a 640 by 480 resolution screen. So they showed some screenshots on the Wired.com, and it was really cool to see a Pocket PC device with a full Mac OS operating system running on it. It looked like, the Mac OS, he ran it in full screen on the Pocket PC device, and it looked like the Mac OS was just running on his Pocket PC. And so he uses it to check his email with a Mac interface and do all his stuff, you know, just basically remote controlling his home Macintosh system. And the one really cool thing is he has an ITV, a personal video recorder that records his television to his Macintosh. And so he could actually launch that application and watch television, his television, recorded television programs remotely from anywhere in the world on his Pocket PC device. So pretty cool. This would be an application you could pull off with a Mac Mini. So you could log in, you know, essentially from any machine that you had a virtual network computing client installed on, and control your Mac and, you know, watch your television programs from anywhere in the world. So if you haven't checked out VNC, check it out, play with it a little bit. It's a lot of fun, especially if you're more on the tech nerdy side like I am. Last thing I want to say to you guys tonight is thank you very much. I am back on the top 10 over at podcastalley.com. As I mentioned in the last show, they changed their voting. You can now vote once a day. So I'm encouraging my listeners to go over there and keep voting for me, keep me up on the top 10. So if you haven't done that yet, please go over. This is the last time I'm going to mention it. Thank you. All right. That's the show. Go to maccast.com for the full show notes and links to everything that I discussed. As always, you can email me text or audio comments at maccast@gmail.com, or you can leave a audio voicemail on the voicemail line, 206-222-2788. The easy way to remember that number is it's 20-MACCAST-8. And tonight I'm going to leave you with a little bit of comedy from, you know, our friend Wes at Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie. It's www.deadtroll.com. This song is called, I guess it's a song slash little bit of comedy called Every OS Sucks. I enjoy it, and I will see you guys all on Monday. All right, have a good night. Or a good morning, I guess, or afternoon, depending on whatever you're listening to it. Anyway, see you next time.
Well, hi there. Thank you for downloading another fine quality comedy product from Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie and your friends at mp3.com. Good for you. Of course, if you've downloaded this from Napster, screw you! You know what? Free isn't good enough for you? You gotta rip us off? That's okay. I will find you and I will kill you. You see, I come from a time in the 1970s when computers were used for two things. To either go to the moon or play Pong. Nothing in between, you see. And you didn't need a fancy operating system to play Pong, and the men who went to the moon, God bless them, did it with no mouse and a plain text-only black and white screen and 32 kilobytes of RAM. But then round about the late 70s, home computers started to do a little more than play Pong. Very little more. Why, computers started to play games and balance checkbooks. Why, you could play Zaxxon on your Apple II or write a book, all with a computer that had 32 kilobytes of RAM. It was enough to go to the moon. It was enough for you. It was a golden time, a time before Windows, a time before mouses, a time before the internet and bloatware, and a time before every OS sucked. Well, way back in the olden times, my computer worked for me. I'd laugh and play all night and day on Zork 1, 2, and 3. The Amiga VIC-20 and the Sinclair 2, the TRS-80 and the Apple II, they did what they were supposed to do. Wasn't much, but it was enough. But then Xerox made a prototype. Steve Jobs came on the scene. Red of mice and menus, Windows icons, a trash, and a bitmap screen. Old Stevie said to Xerox, "Boys, turn your heads and cough." And when no one was looking, he ripped their interfaces off. stole every feature that he had seen, put it in a cute box with a tiny little screen. Mac OS One ran that machine, only cost $5,000. But it was slow, it was buggy, so they wrote it again, and now they're up to OS 10. They'll charge you for the beta, then charge you again, but the Mac OS still sucks. Every OS wastes your time, from the desktop to the lap. Everything since Apple DOS, just a bunch of crap. From Microsoft to Macintosh to Lin-Line Nux, every computer crashes, cause every OS sucks. Well, then Microsoft jumped in the game, copied Apple's interface with an OS named Windows 3.1. It was twice as lame, but the stock price rose and rose. Then Windows 95, then 98. Man, Solitaire never ran so great, and every single version came out late, but I guess that's the way it goes. But that bloatware will crash and delete your work, and TME, man, none of them work. Bill Gates may be richer than Captain Kirk, but the Windows OS blows and sucks at the same time. I traded in, yeah, right, for what? It's top of the line from the CompuHut. The fridge, stove, and toaster never crash on me. I should be able to get online without a PhD. My phone doesn't take a week to boot it. My TV doesn't crash when I mute it. I miss ASCII text and my floppy drive. I wish VIC-20 was still alive. But it ain't the hardware, man. It's just that every OS sucks and blows. Now there's Linux or Linux, I don't know how you say it, or how you install it, or use it, or play it, or where you download it, or what programs run, but Linux or Linux don't look like much fun. However you say it, it's getting great press, though how it survives is anyone's guess. If you ask me, it's a great big mess for elitist, nerdy schmucks. It's free, they say, if you can get it to run. The geeks say, hey, that's half the fun. Yeah, but I got a girlfriend and things to get done. The Linux OS sucks. I'm sorry to say it, but it does.
Every OS wastes your time from the desktop to the lap. Everything since the abacus, just a bunch of crap. From Microsoft to Macintosh to Linux. Every computer crashes, cause every OS sucks. Every computer crashes, cause every OS sucks.